lazy days of summer have arrived, and with them, the opportunity to travel and see new places.
Maybe you're headed abroad to Paris, the City of Lights, and home of the 2024 Olympics. Or perhaps your journeys are taking you south of the equator to Peru for an epic hike to Machu Picchu, or to Bolivia to see the salt flats of Uyuni.
Or maybe like us, you're finding your travels are closer to home on the trails of a national park, like Mount Rainier, Shenandoah, or Yosemite.
From hikes to hotels to the best spots to eat, Moon Travel has you covered.
From excellent first-hand experience from authors who are local to the areas they are writing about, to wonderful maps and great recommendations, Moon Travel Guides give the reader so much more than other travel guides on the market.
That's right, and we are so excited that this year we are again partnering with Moon Travel.
Through this partnership, through the end of 2024, our listeners can get 20% off any Moon Travel Guide when they use the code GAZE24 at checkout.
That's code GAZE24, GAZE24, for 20% off any Moon Travel Guide in Moon's entire library, and you actually will not find this deal anywhere else, everybody. Head to our show notes to check it out and see Moon's entire collection of guidebooks.
So ready to cross something off your travel bucket list in 2024?
Have a lot of great ideas for trips, but don't know how to get started or keep your itinerary organized?
Wherever your wanderings may take you or inspire you to go, Moon Travel Guides have you covered.
Head to moon.com and use code GAZE24 at checkout to open up the world of possibilities for your next trip.
Moon Travel, let your heart be your compass, let Moon be your guide.
This episode of Gaze at the National Parks, the podcast, is sponsored by Moon Travel Guides. Moon Travel is the travel guidebook publisher for ethical travel. Don't spend months trying to build the perfect trip when you can do it all with Moon. Whether you are taking a short trip, exploring a European city, heading to a national park, or traveling to South America, Asia, or beyond, make sure to pack a Moon Travel Guide with you. Hello, and welcome to Trail Mix by Gaze at the National Parks, the podcast. I'm Dusty.
And I'm Mike. While our long-format episodes explore one hiking trail in one national park, one park at a time, Trail Mix is the short-format episode of our show. It's where we get to explore topics we didn't get to cover in our long-format episodes, including history, science, environmental justice, and also interviews.
Today's Trail Mix is a very special interview with Felicia Leo Kemp, the co-author of Northern California Hiking with Anne Marie Brown, published by Moon Travel Guides.
Based in Sacramento, Felicia has found a never-ending array of wonders in Northern California and its landscapes. From its impressive national parks to the national seashores, recreation areas, and state parks alike, Felicia has explored so much with even more on the horizon.
An author, lawyer, and founder of several nonprofit groups, including Take a Hike, TaySacks, and Sacramento Women Hikers, Felicia has a deep history with the national parks and outdoor spaces that has definitely lent a hand in the co-creation of this incredible book.
We're so excited to chat about all things Northern California with Felicia and to hear more about why we so desperately need to get back to California and get on some more trails.
So I grew up hiking, camping with my family. That was our vacation. We lived in Texas, so it was quite hot. And my dad firmly believed you should see your own country before you travel elsewhere. So I've actually been to most of the states in the United States, mostly hiking and camping with my family. And, you know, I went through my education and eventually married, started having kids. And my husband and I hiked wherever we happened to live for our careers. And we moved out to California in 2010, started our family here. We naturally just kept going on hikes. And I realized there were times where I wish someone had given me a heads up, like, this trail is going to split and you're going to have to guess which way to go because there's no sign. And so I started a blog. Actually, I had our own personal family blog. I would just share things on there. But then friends of friends started sharing those posts about hikes. So I then decided to make a separate blog specific for hiking called Family Trail Time. And that's where I would drop like those little couple of hints tips, whatever, that might help people out on the trails. And so that way I could give advice out into the world and whomever consumed it was fine. And I guess in 2015, I started sharing on Instagram and Facebook. And from there, it kind of just eventually took off. I just shared pictures and some helpful hints here and there. I think it was in 2022 that someone at Moon reached out to me and my DMs and said, we have a role you might be interested in. You should check it out.
They slid right in.
I know. I was like, wow, I'm too old for this. I've been married a long time. And so I went to LinkedIn to see if this person was legit. And then I went to the website and I saw the role posted for Northern California Hiking. And so I went through the interview process and the application process is pretty extensive, you know, writing samples and, you know, photos, lots of things that you've done. But it helped that I had a blog and Instagram that I could show them. And that's probably, she probably just did a search, right? And for like Bay Area, Northern California. And so going through that process took a while. And then I was informed that I was selected. And what I do in my full-time job is I'm an attorney. And so a lot of the same sort of skill sets that are required in my full-time job are required with something like this. You have to have good research skills. You have to know it's a reputable resource. You have to be willing to ask the questions and think of the questions. And then the photography piece was just fun because I was responsible for mapping. The experts do the mapping for the book, but I had to wear a Garmin and like write down my little, you know, points along the way of interest and make sure I knew what mile that was at. So there was a lot of research and writing to it.
I love that. I feel like that's kind of precisely the same reason why we got into creating this podcast, was because we were like, our favorite way to find out about a trail is to talk to somebody who did it. Oftentimes that looked like talking to a ranger at a national park who was like, oh, I just did this trail yesterday. Here's some information about it. Or the comments section on all trails. Other than that, it was a paragraph on a map or maybe a little bit here, a little bit there. But actually like hearing from somebody who did it was our favorite way to find out. I'm curious to know, when it comes to the things that you're picking up and the things that you want to share, what kind of tips from trails or like details about trails are your favorite things to share that perhaps started on your blog and now have made their way into the books?
Well, I think what's great about this book is a lot of times when someone goes on a hike, part of the experience is also like the celebration in either like reaching your destination or finishing the hike and seeing that car and then going and having a beer or a burger. It just tastes so much better because you've accomplished something.
Totally.
So to be able to find those little gems near trailheads was a really fun part of the book, because that would be something I would be doing anyways with my friends and my family. So I would say like that part was super fun in making the book. Some of the little like pro tips are just those things along the way that you didn't know until you knew. Like there are things that are always in my vehicle just in case, because I'm a parent and I didn't do that before I was a parent. I think the same thing goes for like any sort of like hiking or outdoor exploration. The more you do it, the more you know works for you. So even like a simple thing, like my family, when we go on a hike, we often will drive 2 or 3 hours. None of us wear the hiking shoes in the car, and we always have those shoes waiting for us when we get back, right? That's just like one simple thing, but especially if you're going somewhere where you're going to wear a hiking boot that has a little more weight to it, or you have little legs dangling off the car seat in the back and that weight on their knees, you don't want to wear them out before they've even started hiking. So it's been fun to just share those things, because once you know it and you do it, you're like, why didn't I do this before? But if you aren't in the practice of doing these things, you just don't know yet.
Yes, we love that. We are such advocates for that. We have waiting for us in the car upon our return is not only our sneakers, but a totally fresh pair of socks. We do both because it's like, it's such a vacation for the feet.
I air those dogs out. I usually have like a couple of pairs of sandals depending on my mood, and depending on how sore I am too, maybe.
Yes.
You know, like how much cushion do I need in the sandal versus like what's going to be cute.
So I am so enamored by the fact and in love with the fact that so much of your personal journey with hiking, you know, aside from with you and your husband, has been with your kids. And I love that that's something that you're able to do as a family, that you're getting them out and exposed to the natural world. Because that's not every parent, you know, my parents, I did not have that experience. This is something I came to as an adult or like as a young adult. And so I love that that's something that is a part of practice that also was a part of kind of the tips and tricks and all of the travel writing that you were doing. So first of all, kudos to you. I love that. And second of all, how does that factor in from like the family blog that you had worked on initially? How does that find its way into the book? Because we've gone through so many moon books and looked at them. And I actually don't think I've noticed, or maybe I just haven't paid attention because I'm not a parent, sections for kids or things that are like very kid related within the book. So is that something like, how do you put that in?
Yeah, I think there are a couple of things. With kids, a lot of times it can be as simple as thinking of beginners because you want something that's maybe not so long or not so challenging. But there are other considerations that, you know, that cross over too. So our middle child, Grayson, never walked. And so we always had to wear him, or he had a regular stroller that was a pretty hefty one. And then eventually he was in a wheelchair. And so finding handicap accessible trails became a priority for us, especially once he got really heavy and we couldn't go very far, or just, you know, just for ease because he had medical equipment that eventually we had to carry with us. And so I think that's one of those things where there's crossover, right? So a wheelchair accessible trail will also be stroller friendly. So if you're worried about taking, you know, some formula or diapers or wipes, all these extra things that come along with taking kids anywhere, it's like a relief to have that. And if you look in the book, there is a list of kid friendly hikes, but there's also accessibility like built into the different trails to like help kind of get you a sense of that. And then I think some of it is like understanding like elevation and distance. So even though a trail might be shorter, if it's got, you know, a great elevation gain, that's not going to be so easy. And then it's knowing your own kids. So I think parents are pretty good at gauging that. But in terms of like what's there for you in the book, I also really appreciate that this is so focused on step-by-step guidance. And the way the whole book is written is very deliberate. So it's not just a summary of what the trail experience will be, but it will tell you like at this juncture, you're going to see some rocks or you're going to have a steep, you know, drop off. And those are all those little hints that help you know, for even yourself, is this a trail I want to take? I have a friend who hikes all the time on the coastline, but she like hikes in meadows. And I didn't even know she had a fear of heights until I took her on one of the hikes with me. And, you know, it's an adult and it's the same sort of situation. It's someone who was a situation that was uncomfortable for her. And then she had to navigate that.
So Felicia, I'm curious. Let's start with top five favorite hikes from the book.
It's really, really hard.
It's really hard.
So there are bucket list type of hikes for sure, right? So like Alamir Falls, which I didn't know that's how you're supposed to pronounce it. I always call it Alamere. I don't know if that's my upbringing. But hiking to the most incredible Tidefall and being able to be there on the beach with it is fantastic. It is a longer hike. So my favorite way of doing it is actually backpacking in, staying at Wildcat Campground, and then you hike down the beach a mile to the waterfall. And when you do that, if you time it right, you can get the waterfall to yourself versus all the day hikers that come in. And so I've had some really magical experiences where if depending on when low tide is when you want to go, right? And being able to stand at the waterfall both in the morning and the evening because I'm camping down the beach and just taking it in and just having that like moment in nature by myself with like the power of the rushing waterfall coming over the cliffs and into the ocean. To me, that's like every hiker who can do the trail should do it. Unfortunately, there is a user-made shortcut that is not endorsed by the My Point Reyes National Seashore. So I would highly advise people not try to take the shortcut. When I was much younger and not as smart and didn't understand leave no trace principles, I tried it myself and I got stinging nettle for the first time, which is not comfortable. Very feels like your leg is on fire And it takes a while for it to go away. And also, I know someone who was airlifted off the beach because they were injured. Yeah, I get that the temptation, but just don't do it. Writing this book, Point Reyes, just really pulled me in. There's so many trails in the National Seashore. And then I would say, a little further north, Sonoma Coast. I had never really explored that as in depth as I got to writing the book. Puma Canyon and Red Hill. You get to quote say you went to a summit, but really it's just like a grassy hill with a picnic table, and you get to see the Russian River flowing down and into the ocean. The town of Jenner is right there. It's just like peaceful. And to be up on the top of the quote summit, I mean, it's super low. It's just super, it's like maybe like just over a 6 mile hike. I can't remember exactly off the top of my head, but it's just so beautiful and serene to sit up on top of the hill and watch the river flowing. That's obviously I'm drawn to water, right? Those two are the two that just really like come to mind straight away. But it's funny when I'm having these conversations because I think there's the best hike for you on that day, right?
Absolutely.
And
Absolutely.
so one of my probably number one favorite trail of my life might be Miss Trail in Yosemite. And so I think, again, if you can do it, you've got to try. And our family was at Yosemite on Sunday, and my daughter is almost six, and she's done harder hikes, or she's done long hikes, I suppose. But she was recovering from a cold, and I didn't want to push it. And so my boys and a friend did the full Miss Trail. But with her, as a mom and a kid, we just did as far as she was willing to go, which was like to the beginning of the falls. And that was enough for us for that day. But it was still felt like an accomplishment because she got to see, a waterfall. But yeah, Miss Trail will forever have my heart. My husband and I have hiked Half Dome, and Miss Trail is like leading up to Half Dome, but Miss Trail, like that's the magic. Like, I mean, other than actually getting to Half Dome, but yeah, Miss Trail just can't be beat.
And Miss Trail is the one that's like Vernal Falls, and then you could do
Yes,
Nevada Falls
Nevada.
next.
Yeah, exactly.
We love Missed Trail, loved it so much. It was like we are always saying hike early and hike often because we're people who will, get there at 5 a.m. to start a trail because we would like to find parking, And so I remember we got up very. We had 2 days in Yosemite. And so the first day we did Yosemite Falls, wanted to die, absolutely die. That trail was so hard. And then the next day we did Vernal and Nevada, where we did the Miss Trail. And we were like, this was so amazing. And I'm so glad we did it in this order too, because.
I'm like, that's really ambitious. Whenever I hear people do those two in a row, I'm like, woo,
Yeah.
your
It
quads,
was,
man, your
yeah.
calves, all of it.
Yosemite Falls was such an ass kick. I mean, still to this day, I'm like, yeah, I don't know that I need to do that one again. That one was
Yeah, I've
so
only ever
much.
gone up to Columbia Rock. I've never made it all the way to the top because I, whenever I've gone, I've had kids with me, and so my husband and I took turns carrying Grayson, and our other son was, I think, maybe six at the time, and we got to Columbia Rock, and we were like, we're good,
Right. We're good.
and then
Right.
had a, I mean, we were wearing a kid too, but I keep telling myself like I need to get to the top, and then I look at the switchbacks, and I'm like, wow.
And the like actual terrain is just like, mid-sized rocks the whole way. And I'm like, we saw so many trail runners doing Yosemite Falls and some of them barefoot. I was like, you must have like calluses of steel on the bottom of your feet. Like, how are you even doing any of this? But yeah.
You just reminded me of a funny person I encountered, if I can share.
Sure.
Please. Oh, please.
When I did Alamere Falls, when we were hiking out, a hiker was hiking in, and all he had on were his hiking boots and a backpack.
Oh, so nude.
And
And
so
that was
what?
the
So, but it
one and only time I
was,
saw a nude hiker.
but it sounds like that was like not, that's not like a nude hiking trail.
No, that was a once in a lifetime, I hope, experience for me. But it's just, but it's however somebody is comfortable
I
exploring
guess
nature,
so.
right? I
Sure.
mean, I'm glad I
So,
didn't have my children with me for the
yeah.
questions I would have had to answer.
Sure.
But it was a weekday, so maybe he didn't expect to run into so many people out there.
maybe not. There are definitely like trails designated in some places where it's like, yeah, you might encounter nude hikers after this sign, but that's not most trails.
Sure, sure. And there are beaches. Right. That,
right.
There is one hike in the book right on the other side of this rock pile. It's all nudes.
Oh, okay.
And I didn't know that when I took my family. And my son, I guess he was probably 12, maybe 11 at the time, had already climbed up the rocks and was like, you know, going along them. And this father, like carrying his kid, is like waving me down like, they're nude people over there. And my son looks down at me. He's like, I already saw. It's no big deal, Mom. And I was like, well, good. I'm glad it's not a big deal.
There you go. It's not a big deal, right?
It doesn't have to be. It's just, it's good to know.
Yeah.
It is good to know.
That is in the book. It is in the book to be aware.
Be aware. It is good to have a heads up on that. During the months of May and June, we are highlighting the work of LGBT plus outdoors in our community effort to showcase organizations who are working towards social justice, environmental action, and more inclusive public lands.
LGBT plus outdoors mission is all about connecting members of the LGBTQ plus community through the outdoors, strengthening the ties of the community, and fostering a love of the outdoors while doing so.
Along with creating community among queer outdoor adventure seekers, LGBT plus outdoors seeks to break down stereotypes and remove barriers for the LGBTQ plus community in what is traditionally a heteronormative outdoor industry. LGBT plus outdoors is committed to not only this, but sustainability practices in the outdoors, including environmental stewardship, inclusivity and accessibility, and collaborative partnerships.
Make monthly charitable giving a trend in your life in 2024 and help to support LGBT plus outdoors this May and June. Visit the link in our Instagram bio for more information.
Or go to www.lgbtoutdoors.com/donation form.
But I was going to tell you, like you, with the rising early to go to a trail, I feel that I have more anxiety about getting to a trailhead on time to find a spot than I do about the challenge of the hike.
Yes.
Because I can take my time on a hike, and if I'm there super early, as long as I have plenty of snacks and water, I'll get through the hike. But if there's not a place for me to park, then I'm going to have to hike farther just to get to the trailhead. You know, there's so much involved in that, and I feel you there. And then the sun exposure too. Like when we hiked Half Dome, you know, most people do, you start with headlamps. So I think we were on trail at 4 a.m.
You do the things you got to do, right? In order to see what you want to see and experience what you want to experience. And sometimes that means like a 4 a.m. start time.
Right. I actually just thought of another trail that has my heart, Matt Davis on Mount Tam. It's just, I mean, there's different, you can start Matt Davis or you can finish with Matt Davis if you're starting from Lexington Beach, but there are different ways to get to that area of Mount Tam. I don't say anything correctly. I think I don't know how you're supposed to pronounce it, but I say Mount Tamalpais, but that's because Spanish is in my head too. So I don't know the correct way. But Matt Davis Trail, and if you're there at the right season, like right now, there's actually going to be a 10K this Saturday there. Matt Davis Trail is just so serene, and there's like the blowing grass and the wind, and you're just like on this single track. There's a lot of trail runners that will be on there as well. But anywhere on Mount Tam, if you want to go, sign me up. I am there. There's several trails from Mount Tam in the book.
I mean, obviously you have a co-author here, but with a state as broad as California, how do you find the time to explore so much? I mean, California is vast.
Sure. And this book is only Northern California, right? And it's not even everywhere in Northern California. It's like highlights real. And so I think what's great about the book is it does highlight certain regions that have fantastic trails. And then for me personally, it's a combination of things that enables me to explore. You know, I have a full-time job that pays for the gas. And then I have PTO. And then I have a supporting husband who also enjoys the outdoors. So one time my now 13-year-old did say to me, like, Mom, I like hiking, but can we go maybe like once a month, not like every weekend? And so I can appreciate that he has other interests. But Oftentimes, like if they're, you know, if my husband doesn't, he doesn't like to sleep on the ground anymore because he has some back issues. And so I'll say, hey, you don't want to go camping, but I really need to go camping. Can I take one of the kids and make it like a mommy and me date, or like a, we'll go buddy up with another family. So like last summer, my daughter and I went camping with like her little bestie in kindergarten and her mom. Or, you know, I started a women's hiking group called Sacramento Women Hikers. I'll just put something out there. Hey, I want to do this trail this weekend. Anyone game? And so, you know, California is vast, but it's also like, what do you want? Like, what do you want out of your weekend? Because I can watch 2 2-hour movies, or I can go drive to somewhere amazing and have this fantastic experience and bond and share with someone, and then drive home and my life is enriched for it. And maybe I watch the movie after my shower. But I do often say that I wish I had taken notes about the conversations I had on these trails, because so often I took them with friends, and most often other women, older, younger, whatever it may be. But I feel like I should have a supplemental book to each trail and like the things we talked about, because I think one of the greatest gifts of going hiking with someone you care about is hearing the thoughts that are in their head verbalized. Because my now 13-year-old, sometimes things will only come up because we're hiking on the trail and there's no screen nearby and there's no friends and there's nothing else. It's just you and the trail. And so many of the women I hiked with making this book, who are also featured in the photos, which is a gift to me that Moon selected some of those photos. It's like looking at a yearbook. They talked about what they're struggling with in their life and what they're going through, and to be able to support them and then receive that in return. Like, that just makes the experience of that hike that day like so, like next level. It's just so much more valuable to your whole existence.
And you remember that. Those are the checkpoints and the touch points in the memory bank that come up when you think about that trail.
It helps you remember too that everyone's going through something. It could be the greatest joy of their life. Maybe they're pregnant. You know, it could also be, you know, something that's a really difficult transition in life as well. Like they're going through a divorce. It could be anything. And I just feel like that was such a treasure on each of these trails. I have such distinct memories of what we discussed and how our friendships grew.
Obviously, the book has a lot of different areas, and obviously, California is just a wealth of landscape. So you talked about Point Reyes. What are the other spaces that are important to you or feel like are places that if you're coming to maybe one of the national parks, even like make a point, because this is really close and you should absolutely try to tag this into that trip that you're going to for Lassen or this trip that you're going to for Redwoods? Like, where are some areas that you could kind of point out you would feel like that aren't national park spaces, but close by?
So I was really surprised to find such good Mexican food near Pinnacles. I don't know why. It's California. But I think when I think of national parks, I think like take your own food, you know, in Yosemite, any national park, I think you should just take your own food to be safe. But yeah, so like Yosemite, the little town of Groveland is right outside one of the entrances, and it's really charming. I go to Yosemite a lot. And we often do it as a day trip from Sacramento.
Which, so jealous.
I mean, a lot of people think it's crazy because it's a good 3 hours. But when you first started asking that question, when you were thinking about like what's outside of the park, I'm like, what do you need outside of the park? Because to me, Yosemite is my happy place. Like to me, it's the adult outdoor enthusiast equivalent of Disney. You aren't going to get anything better than Yosemite. And it's because you can just drive the loop in the valley floor and see so many beautiful things without even getting out of your car. You can, you know, pull over and watch rock climbers on El Capitan, you know, and if you've like watched any of the documentaries, that gives you a pretty good idea of what their experience may be. You can easily, you know, hop out and hike to Lower Yosemite Falls. You can go to Bridal Veil if it's open. If you can drive up to Glacier Point, not during the winter when it's closed. But there's just so much captivating, so much that's easily accessible and captivating in Yosemite to me. I don't know that I've ever explored much right outside of it. I just, you know, we go and whatever that day is gonna, you know, whatever unfolds in that day. I will say Curry Village has decent food if you're like, you want a pizza and a beer.
To your point about comparing it to like Disney World, I remember being a kid and going to Disney World and like going to Magic Kingdom and like turning the corner and seeing the castle, and what a moment that was. Pulling through tunnel view and seeing Yosemite, mm-hmm. way better. At least for me.
Whoever planned that, man, they did a great job.
What an incredible thing.
Because
to do.
It really is a reveal.
Such a reveal. Absolutely. Like, you have to pull over and take a moment, right? Like, it is. Mm-hmm. And that's why they have, you know, that pull off right there. We pulled through that first morning, and like the sunlight was just like perfect. And like that, you know, you can see Half Dome, you can see all Capitan, like, you can see everything right there. And it was just like,
I will say, you know, some things that are specific to Northern California that you can find lots of places, but like also in Yosemite, each entrance has something special about it at Yosemite. And so a lot of times I think people are like, oh, we're going to drive into Yosemite and see tunnel view, but you may not. And so that's part of why it's really important to do your research. But the entrance that like we used on Sunday is Big Oak Flat. And that entrance, you get a beautiful little like Yosemite picture perfect like sign right before the entrance, but on the winding road there's this pull off, and you'll miss it if you're not paying attention. It's just one of the pull offs you know, through the tunnels that are on that entrance, and it has the same sort of magical feeling to me every time I leave the park, because the evening sun is hitting out towards El Capitan and Half Dome, and you can, like, if you can really see clearly, you can see all the way down to the Merced River. And to me, that's like my little last kiss as I walk out of the door leaving Yosemite, is every time I'm leaving Yosemite through that entrance on Big Oak Flat, there's only one pullout that has like a little tiny parking lot. There's a handicap accessible parking space. And so we always stop there and we just like take it in and then go home. And so to me, like, that's the magical point at that entrance. But there's nothing like tunnel view. I mean, the only other place like you get that like reveal is maybe at Glacier Point. There's other areas of Yosemite too, again with the pronunciation, Tioga Pass and through the north. You know, most people don't even go up there ever. And if you want like some serenity doing any of the trails in the northern part, there are some easy kid accessible, like easily hiked by all ages, easy trails. I mean, there's some challenging ones there too, but it's just a different part of Yosemite. Also, the reservoir, Hetch Hetchy, Hetchy Hetch. I always say it backwards. My husband thinks it's hilarious. You know, there's Yosemite is just so vast. And the magical thing about our national parks is there's something for everyone. And no matter your capability physically, you can have an amazing experience. I'm totally in love with Sonoma Coast, and I think it flies under the radar because when people travel to California, it's not something that you really think about. Like, you think about like Napa Sonoma for drinking wine, but you don't think about like just how beautiful it is if you're on Highway 1 driving, you know, either direction. But the coastline is constantly there, and there's so many places you can pull out, and there's little trails, and then there are staircases you can go down to the beach and go look in the pools, right? And it can be such a simple way to explore when you're just driving down the road, that there's so many. Sonoma Coast State Park has so many little areas you can go explore. I'm also in love with Big Sur, but Big Sur gets lots of attention, and there's just something surreal about these mountains that come right up against the sea, and that there's so many hikes where you can go up or down. And I think probably also one of my favorite areas from the book is in Andrew Millera State Park, is there the trail that's in the book is you basically go up a very big hill and you work your way up, but then when you turn around and the way you come down is like a loop, and you're coming down with a view of the ocean the entire way. And especially like when the flowers are blooming, and not many people will do that whole loop of the hike. And then you get down to the beach and you can see where like all these logs have somehow gathered because there's a little cove when, you know, they've been washed ashore. It's just another one of those magical places. I also love it too, because during much of the year, you have to do a stream crossing. And I think that's a good place if you're newer to doing stream crossings to get that experience without it being, again, depending on the rainfall or the snow melt, can be a fun stream crossing. You're still going to get wet and have to like wear shorts or pull up your pants, but they only have a bridge during, you know, certain times of the year. So that's fun. And there's beaches there you can hang out at afterwards. I think one of my other favorite things in Big Sur, I mean, the state park there is like one of my favorite places to camp. And I will camp by myself any day if I can get a campsite. I have one reserved in a couple of weeks. And there are trails within the state park as well. And you can also do trails right outside. There's one's called Buzzard's Roost. That's like basically across the street from the state park. So if you're in the, if you're camping in the park, you can actually hike from the park under Highway 1 and then do Buzzard's Roost. And it's nice because it's just like this beautiful redwoods trail that takes you up, up, up. And then you're able like be in a buzzard's roost looking out into the ocean on the other side. Yeah, that's a real nice hike to do. I did that one solo at like 7 a.m. and it was just like a nice way to wake up and warm up. And then, hello, ocean. It's easy to be in love with Big Sur. McWay Falls is in Big Sur. So that's a must stop. That's the other tide fall that everyone needs to see. And that's a super short walk. My 70-something-year-old mother just did it a few weeks ago with me and my daughter. And it's just like one of those wonders of the world where you're like, how is this real?
Yeah, I feel like California is just playground. And there's just, and you're right. You might have a 3-hour drive. I was just in Joshua Tree visiting a friend in February who's moved out there. He's been out there since 2020, maybe a little before that. And he was just like, you know, the East Coast, everything is like far that you need to see, even though we're so densely populated out here. California, it's like, you have to go far, but it's like 3 hours in the car and then you're in this incredible environment, you know, and there's nothing that beats it. And you can kind of just have it. You can be in the mountains and like he goes to Mammoth a lot to ski and snowboard. And then he's like, and then I'm home and within a matter of hours in the desert. Like, it's so wild.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, the same thing here is part about being in Sacramento is you can go to Tahoe for a day trip or you can go to the coast for a day trip and be home in your bed. And a lot of my family are always trying to bug me about moving back to Texas. And they're like, it's so expensive in California. And my response is, as long as I can afford to live in California, I will never leave. I just view that as like a luxury tax that when I walk out that door every day, I'm like, this is glorious. Even on the hottest day in Sacramento, it's all perspective. Try growing up in the heat and humidity of Houston, Texas. There's lots of great things about Houston, but to me, being outside is a high priority. And the conditions here allow me to both go outside and see something and experience something incredible that naturally exists. And I will take that any day of the week. Sign me up. Yeah, I will never leave California. Not by choice. People should not forget to explore their own backyards. Just like I live in Sacramento, you know, I'm not native. So as soon as I moved here, I'm like, where can I go? What can I do? Especially if I need that afternoon break. And there are a couple of hikes in the book, you know, Cosumnes River Preserve is maybe half an hour to 45 minutes south of like central Sacramento. And it's an amazing place to watch the birds in the winter. And there's also some relatively easy paths. There's one that's handicap accessible. There's a boardwalk that goes out into the water when it's the winter and there is water. I think it's easy to overlook the green spaces nearby and how valuable they can be in your daily life. And you should take advantage of those. I'm all the time exploring all the little different parks and green spaces in the greater Sacramento area just to get out. And then it doesn't have to be a multi-hour expedition, but you're still getting the fresh air, the sunlight, the walking, and, you know, some internal peace by just going in your backyard. Because I do think we overlook that with the grandeur of like all the places you can go that are like Yosemite. Like, absolutely, but not everybody's going to have a day trip to take, to be able to take. And that's why it's important people also get involved in like the Parks and Rec committees and, you know, the planning committees for wherever you live. It's part of why I moved where we did move is because there was a green belt. And then COVID hit and I was so thankful that I had somewhere to go that I could still have my work day working remotely and still go do something without having to impact, you know, emergency personnel and other places because they were saying like, don't go do all the crazy hikes. At that time, anyways.
I'm curious if you have any tips or advice for first-time hikers coming to California who are going to explore and maybe go to a few different places or pick a few spots. What are some things to remember, things to think about, things to like have in mind?
Sure. I think anytime you're going to go explore or travel somewhere new, look at what's unique to that area. So the redwoods of Northern California are so grandiose, and you can see the redwoods many places. You can see old growth in several places. One of my favorite spots that's in the book is Muir Woods National Monument. And so to me, it's like one of those, like, you just gotta do it. Even though there will likely be crowds, you do need to make a reservation for your parking or do a shuttle. But your first time seeing a redwood is just as magical in itself. You don't have to go see the giant Sherman and, Sequoia, right? But like the largest one, you don't need to see the biggest one. Any old growth redwoods will do. And they're all spread out throughout Northern California. And I think that that is one of the things that is so distinct about this region, that if I'm coming to see the natural wonders of California, I want to see redwoods and I want to see the coastline along Highway 1. Like, those to me are the two things like you must see. Like hiking in general, please remember sun protection and hydration. Like, to me, just for hiking, even as experienced hikers, I think we can get complacent about understanding our hydration needs and sun protection needs. That's for any hike.
I guess another thing that I'm curious about, because you were able to do so much travel as a youth, with your family and see a lot of the country and see a lot of the, the park spaces and things like that. Outside of California, what is a favorite space that you have that holds like a very special place in your heart, whether it's a national park or some other sort of natural landscape?
I think the first that comes to mind is Big Bend, which is, national park and state park. But growing up in Texas, you know what you know, and even Big Bend was like a long road trip from Houston. But I have so many special memories of my dad, who's now passed, and just being a family out there. And then that was also my first time going abroad or going crossing the Rio Grande, to Mexico. That was my first trip outside of the country. I think that has incredible meaning to me. My brother and I hiked Grand Canyon together, and we had been to Grand Canyon before as kids, but we did Grand Canyon and we did the Moab area parks, and a dear friend from college was living out there river guiding. And so to get to go with her as a river guide, see the parks with her, and as, a local, and be with my brother as adults, that was incredibly special. I just think, like, when you see where you fit in the world and in the universe, like, it's small, but it's not insignificant. And I think these places really amplify that.
This has been Trail Mix by Gaze at the National Parks, the podcast, and we're here to remind you to hike early and hike often, and that adventure is always out there.
Gaze at the National Parks was created and is hosted by us, Dustin Ballard, and Michael Ryan.
To see images from this episode, follow our Instagram at Gaze at the National Parks. To contact us, email us at gazeatthenationalparks@gmail.com. And to find out more about the parks visited on this show, visit our website, gazeatthenationalparks.com. And that's Gaze, G-A-Z-E.
All original artwork featured on Instagram and on our website is by me, Michael Ryan.
All original music was written and performed by Dave Seaman and Mariella Klinger, with Sean Sklios on guitar. Our music producer is Skylar Fortgang. This episode was edited by me, Dustin Ballard.
We would also like to acknowledge that while we're recording this episode, that we are on the traditional and stolen lands of the Lenape people, also known as Middlesex County, New Jersey.